The inventors of cuneiform, wheels, and beer are Sumerians. But what do we know about this ancient civilization that existed 6,000 years ago? Not only the remains of the cities where lived Sumerians have been preserved, but also more than a million clay tablets of those times. So we can learn not only how these people lived, but also what they thought and how they saw the world around them. And before we know how the Sumerians lived, we need to understand the geographic conditions of their territory. Their lands are known as Mesopotamia, which is the Greek word that means the land between rivers. Sometimes this name is used because it is the land of two full water rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. This territory belongs to an even larger region, which is called the Fertile Crescent. And it was here that they first began to grow grain and live in permanent settlements. Ubaid tribes, who lived here before the Sumerians, were already farmers. But historians still do not know where the Sumerians came from, because the Sumerian language was not similar to any of the languages of their neighbors. And although Mesopotamia was considered to be a very fertile land, the first Sumerians in the new lands have had a very difficult time. It took a long time to dry the swamps around the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Even now, these lands are really swamped. After that, it was necessary to dig channels from rivers to the fields. Such actions required joint work and coordination. This is how the first states began to emerge. However, some historians believe that there were other reasons for the emergence of the early Sumerian states. Sumerians were engaged in agriculture and cattle breeding. They planted mostly barley and less often wheat and rye. Small cattle were actively bred, and the main draught animals were mules harnessed in carts. The wheels for such carts are considered to be the invention of Sumerians. Such an invention made it possible to develop trade, which before that was conducted mainly by the rivers. Sumerians' trade became so widespread that trade expeditions were sent to the lands of modern Oman and possibly even Cyprus. And where there is a rich trade, there is the development of mathematics and other sciences. That's why the Sumerians came up with a numerical system based on the number 60. Cuneiform was also created to facilitate trade. It was used to regulate taxes that were first invented by Sumerians as well. The census of property and its taxation created the first bureaucracy in history. Thus, the Sumerians became the first great civilization in the history of mankind. However, the Sumerians did not create one great state, as it happened among other early civilizations. On some lands, many city-states emerged, the largest of which were Eridu, Ur, Nippur-Lagash, Uruk. All these cities were originally headed by religious chiefs, the Ensis. Later, a post of a purely military nature appeared among the leaders of these cities. It was called the Lugal, which literally is translated as a great man. The first period of existence of Sumerians' history divided into two separate periods. The first period is the period of Uruk. The time is named like this because we know about this period mostly due to the archaeological excavations of the same ancient city. There is also an early dynastic period. The cuneiform records of the time have reached us, and we can learn from there about Sumerian dynasties and kings of this period. All these cities, dynasties, and kings constantly fought among themselves for resources and power. However, none of them could finally defeat the other. On the other side of their lands, nomadic and semi-nomadic Semitic peoples began to surround the Sumerians. One of them, the Akkadians, were able to seize the Sumerian lands, thus making the first empire. These tribes were named after the capital city of the Akkadian state. But the meaning of the word is still unknown to us, as well as the situation of the Akkadian state. The emergence of the Akkadian state is closely related to the ruler Sargon the Great, who lived in the 24th century BC. This ruler bore the name Sharrukin, meaning the true king. Accordingly, it indicates the desire of this king to legalize his seizure of power. From the chronicle of the city of Kish, we know that Sargon was the cupbearer and gardener of the previous king of Ur-Zababa. In order to legitimize his power rights, Sargon spread the legend that his mother was a priestess. She secretly gave birth to a son and sent him in a basket by river, where her baby was picked up by the royal water carrier Aki and carried to the palace. having become the king of Kish, which was a fully Akkadian city. Sargon began to conquer the surrounding Sumerian cities and other small Semitic tribes. Over time, he moved the capital to a new city. In order to strengthen the authority, he appointed his relatives for the position of religious rulers, Ensi, in the conquered cities. Most often, he also appointed his daughters as high priestesses, who were called Entu in the same cities. So the Sargon dynasty managed not only to conquer, but also to keep the Sumerian lands for a long time. At that time, the Sumerian and Akkadian cultures were really mixed together. Out of the two languages, the language of Akkadians, which belonged to the Semitic language group and had its distant descendants in the form of Assyrians, remained alive. However, the Sumerian language became the language of priests and was used only in temples. Yet, even religions and temples experienced great changes at the time. Sumerian and Akkadian gods have mingled, so the Sumerian Inanna became the Akkadian Ishtar, Enlil became Elil, and Nanna became the Akkadian god Sin. The Akkadians adopted the Sumerian cuneiform tradition, but instead of Sumerian, they began to read old symbols in a new Akkadian way. It can be said that there has been a fusion of two peoples into one. But in fact, there wasn't any unification, because the Sumerian cities have always rebelled against the conquerors. Both Sargon and his descendants always had to suppress the rebels. Dozens of cuneiform sketches describing wars of the Sargon dynasty rulers of then have reached us. From year to year, they had to conquer the same cities that did not want to remain under the Akkadian Empire. Sargon has created a professional army, which has received the name of People Who Eat With the King, to conduct a lot of military campaigns. This change made it possible to conquer neighboring cities, in which the army was formed by the city militia. And with this army, Sargon the Great was able to extend the northern borders of his empire as far as the Taurus Mountains. He also organized naval expeditions to the islands of Bahrain, and possibly even an expedition to the island of Cyprus. In addition, Sargon the Great carried out administrative and economic reforms, establishing uniform measures of weight, size, and values. He also carried out religious reform, dividing the gods into main and local. The taxation system was also regulated under his rule. At that time, it was conducted with natural products, cattle, grain, or precious metals, silver or gold. The gemstone, lazuli, brought from the east, had much value at that time. It was from the east that the destruction of the Akkadian Empire has started. The Gutian tribes, who already began to invade the territory of the Akkadian state during the reign of Sargon's grandson Naram-Sin, were able to conduct not only minor robberies, but they also successfully crushed the army of the Akkadians. It was in the battles with the Gutians that King Naram-Sin died. Such an event was perceived by the Sumerians as a weakness of the Akkadian Empire, and some rebellious cities even began inviting the Gutians to help fight the Akkadians. And all subsequent Akkadian kings had to rule in eternal wars with nomads. However, the Huti did not give the Sumerians freedom, and defeating the Akkadians remained in power. Thus, from the 21st century BC began the Gutian period of the history of the Sumerians, which lasted almost a century. At this time, one single state has again disintegrated into dozens of small city-states, in which the coming conquerors from the east held power. But the Gutians didn't rule despotically, nor did they break the old order. Some of them, such as King Gudea of Lagash, not only married the daughter of the previous ruler, but continued the old Akkadian-Sumerian order, maintaining the same system that existed in Lagash under Sargon the Great. This Gutian policy became the reason of their quick dissolving among the Sumerians and Akkadians, and already at the end of the 22nd century BC, the Sumerians regained their power. Ur became the main city in the region. Therefore, this period of history is called the Dynasty of Ur, after the dynasty which then ruled the city. Its founder, Ur-Nammu, managed to defeat the Gutians and capture such large cities as Lagash, Uruk, and Nippur. The last one was in the center of the empire. It was an economic and military center. It was the city where all the taxes were collected from all lands. Troops also gathered here. to protect themselves from the attack of nomadic neighbors, Ur-Nammu and his son, Shulgi, settled warriors along the borders of the empire. It is common to believe that the first laws were made only at Babylon by Hammurabi, but the first code of laws was already formalized in the Sumerian era, and we came to cuneiform with it. It is no wonder that Ur reigned with a mighty hand, taking lands, turning the masses of men into his slaves, and forming large armies that lived off heavy taxes. Therefore, when in the middle of the 20th century BC, King Ibbi-Sin lost the war to neighboring Elam, everyone perceived this as a weakness and began to rebel, remembering the cruel rule of the Ur kings. From the west, nomads from the Semitic peoples began to invade these lands almost at the same time. The most successful of them were the Amorites. By the end of the 20th century BC, they had conquered and settled the Sumerian lands. It is in the time of the Amorites that Babylon will become the center of Mesopotamia, and thus, a new era in the history of the Middle East began.